Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. It is so, so very cool of you to join me again today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is the co-founder of the analytics company KissMetrics, Crazy Egg, and QuickSprout. He is a frequent contributor to publications such as Inc. Magazine, Fast Company, Forbes, and Entrepreneur. He also helps companies such as Amazon and Viacom grow their revenue. President Obama recognized my guest as one of the top 100 entrepreneurs under the age of 30, and he has also been awarded congressional recognition from the United States House of Representatives. Although he loves being an entrepreneur, he sees his future in the nonprofit world, helping to drive traffic to their websites and helping to change lives. Now, let's hack Neil Patel. I want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, Schoolhouse. Schoolhouse is a New York-based and globally inspired brand design agency. When subjective experiences challenge you as an individual, dare you to take creative risks, and ask individuals to define the collective versus the collective defining the individual, life and experience serve as your schoolhouse. This is why Schoolhouse is about finding your brand truth and not just your brand story. Authenticity, collaboration, and expression keep Schoolhouse sharp, excited, and honest about the work they do. They know the value of client relationships based on quality and trust. They are Schoolhouse, the branding brand. Learn more at weareschoolhouse.com. And you can also follow them through Instagram. To find out more and sign up for the Schoolhouse Weekly, go to weareschoolhouse.com today. How would you like to learn about entrepreneurship from an entrepreneur who started with an idea and $5,000 and in just over a decade has turned it into a business that does hundreds of millions of dollars a year? You can. And in fact, her name is Sarah Blakely, and she is the founder of Spanx, an American underwear company. And she has a brand new masterclass available now where she teaches self-made entrepreneurship. Masterclass. It lets you learn from the best with exclusive access to online classes taught by masters of their craft. Like taking a class on creative writing by Margaret Atwood or learning the art of magic from Penn and Teller. With over 60 different instructors across tons of categories, there's literally something for everyone. And I highly recommend you check it out. Get unlimited access to every masterclass. And as a Hack the Entrepreneur listener, you get 15% off the annual access pass. Go to masterclass.com/hack. That's masterclass.com/hack. For 15% off masterclass. The only way that I can possibly stay productive and get things done every single day is to have a good sleep. Seriously, when I'm well rested, I feel like I could take on the world. And this is why I love Bull and Branch sheets. And it's not just me that loves them. They're the softest and most comfortable sheets in the world. And they're also the only bedding loved by 3 US presidents. For a limited time, you can get their luxury flannel bedding to keep you cool sleepers warm because they breathe but keep the warm sleepers cool. Shipping's always free, and you can try them out for 30 nights risk-free, and right now, you get $50 off your first set of sheets at bullandbranch.com with promo code HACK. Get $50 off at bullandbranch.com when you use promo code HACK. That's spelled B-O-L-L. And branch.com, promo code HACK. Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. Today we have a very, very, very special guest that I've been wanting to talk to for a long time. Neil, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, my pleasure. All right, Neil, we're going to jump straight into this. Neil, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
So 2 things. One, I learn from my mistakes and I try to avoid making them over and over again. right? Which helps because I'm not the smartest guy, but over time, if you keep avoiding the things that help, that cause you to fail in the past, eventually, you know, right, things should look up and you should start succeeding. And two, I execute really fast.
Nice. Do you plan for a long time or do you just avoid that whole sequence and just get an idea and run with it?
I plan pretty fast and I execute fast. It's not always a good thing. Sometimes we plan stuff and we execute on it and then we can't handle the volume of sales or whatever it may be. And it's my fault because I executed a bit too fast without thinking everything through.
Yeah. Do you follow, like, what are your metrics? Are your metrics numbers or are they gut feeling when you decide to run with something?
It typically is metrics.
Yeah. So you just look at them quickly and go for it.
Yep.
Nice.
And do very little on gut.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool. All right. So let's go back. There seems to be this time in every entrepreneur's life, they realize one of two things. Either they have this calling to make this huge difference in the world, or as mostly seems to be the case, they find they simply cannot work for somebody else. Neil, can you tell me when you discovered this about yourself and which side of the fence you fall on?
Yeah, it's hard for me to work for someone else. I discovered this at an early age. I don't like the concept of sitting in an office and working all day on stuff I don't care about or whatever it may be. Maybe one day I'll be able to, but I just haven't really tried it enough, right? I think I can do whatever I really put my mind to. I just like the idea of, like, see, entrepreneurship's like a rush. And hitting numbers, targets, watching things grow from infancy to, you know, a much larger business, that's what makes me happy. I think I can work for a larger company. It would just have to be more of an entrepreneurship thing, right? Where, like, I'm doing a specific project or leading up a specific initiative and treating it as like my own little baby.
Yeah. Entrepreneurship is like a rush. Do you have a craving for rushes outside of business or does that do it for you?
It does it for me.
It does it for you.
Yeah. I don't like anything else.
Yeah. And I find it interesting that you say you could work within a larger company if you could take like that entrepreneurship sort of vibe to it still, right? But I guess you've just never had to. House of Cards hasn't come crashing down where you've needed to, or just the right opportunity hasn't come.
I was about to say, or the opportunity, right? Because someone could try buying your company for a lot of money. And it's like, yes, I will come work for you.
You're not saying no to that?
Of course not, right? If the offer is right and you love the business. Because usually large corporations are smart. They know that when they acquire companies, they have to let it run independently, or they have to give the entrepreneurs a lot of free rein. Like, these big organizations didn't get to where they are by being silly and dumb, right?
Right. So why, when you decided to start, I guess it was Kissmetrics first, what was the idea behind having a co-founder?
I believe there's not enough time and money, right, when it comes to starting a company, and you can't do it all. So why not partner with someone who complements you and can help you in areas that you may not be the best in? For example, my business partner is a much better manager than I am, right? And he has many more skill sets. So she's much better with engineering and product development than I am as well, right?
Right. That's cool. So it's kind of, it's necessary through lack of resources, basically, right? When bootstrapping a company.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to create a individual-based company that just crushes it, right? Usually you need like a co-founder or someone to help you out.
Yeah. Excellent. All right. Let's move on to work. So every blog post now, which you are obviously very well known for your blog posts, an expert talks about 80-20. So I'm sure you've heard of this. 20% of the work, get 80% of the results. Do what you're good at, delegate the rest. Besides being a manager, can you tell me something, Neil, that you are absolutely not good at in your business?
Yeah, for me, I'm not good at like coming up with products or ideas for the mass market. I'm really good at coming up with ideas that helps me or that helps my direct readers. But when you're trying to think of a bigger, much larger scale, like market cap wise, like what could affect the world, right? I'm not necessarily the best at thinking of those concepts. For example, I had an option to invest in Airbnb in the first round, right? I'm too analytical. And in many times, like I look at things, I'm like, oh, it's going to be really hard, or oh, the odds are against it, right? So just the way I think is very logical. And it's just like, all right, here's the quickest path to get to where I am. In essence, I don't have that big thinking mentality that would probably help me create like a $1 billion company one day.
Interesting. Are you the type of person that now wants to kick yourself in the ass for not taking the Airbnb gamble at the beginning?
I should have, but I don't really live in your regrets. like the way I look at things is I also got to where I am today because of how I think, right? I'm exceptionally good at one thing, and the one thing is just marketing. Give me any good product or service and I can market the crap out of it online. Like that's just my main skill set and that's it. And I'm okay with that, right? If you're really good at one thing, that's all that matters. Like you can succeed in life.
Yeah, there we go. See, that was the answer to the first question I was expecting from you. Yeah. Because you are, I mean, you are insanely prolific in your content and super, super, super good for it and very, very well known for that. And I think you're absolutely right that your one thing is you could market the crap out of anything online. That's why I was shocked when you said that it's learning from your mistakes.
Well, that's how I succeed as an entrepreneur.
Right.
Marketing is my biggest skill set, right? Like you can give me any product or service. I may never be able to come up with the Uber type ideas or Airbnbs, but I can market the crap out of it.
That's awesome. So do you actually... This is just literally a personal question. Do you write all of your articles?
I do.
That's amazing.
But I'm really consistent. You know how some people are good at working out every day at the gym?
Yeah.
I suck at that. I'm good at running every day. But I'm really consistent with my work. And if I don't do it on a timely fashion, it stresses me out.
Wow. When do you write during the day?
Usually at night or early in the morning. Like today, I wrote a post at 6 a.m.
Really?
I also wrote a post yesterday at 9 p.m.
Where do you get, I'm going to ask now, this is totally for my own good, but so for say like entrepreneur.com, how do you come up with the topic of what you're going to write about?
It's just basic business stuff. I get emailed so many times a day with people asking me questions. I usually just turn one of the questions into a blog post.
And just give it like, somebody like Entrepreneur, they love the list post, right? So I'll turn this into 7 ways to do that.
Yeah, Entrepreneur posts are really easy, right? Like Entrepreneur Forbes, all those posts usually take me 30 to 45 minutes to write max. Because it's like, they like the basic content. If I write really advanced articles for Entrepreneur Forbes, they don't do well.
Yeah. And those are what drive me crazy. I'm like, I started being a writer for Entrepreneur like 4 or 5 months ago, maybe 6 because of one of my guests. And I haven't actually written for them for like 3 weeks now. I'm supposed to write a weekly post. And I get so stuck on like, what can I do a list post on today that it boggles my mind. And then I see you just in Twitter every day. Well, here's another one for Forbes. Here's another one for Inc. It's like, geez, man, how do you do this?
I'm prolific.
So is it a muscle? Is it just work? Is it like going to the gym every day? I'm also horrible at. I totally am. I hear you on that. So that should mean that I'm great at writing posts every day.
Hopefully, right? Maybe you have the same gene I have.
Which I probably don't. Huh. So I kind of like how it's not. Always like some people are like 6 in the morning, I get up and I do nothing else before I write a post. But you're like, oh, 9 o'clock at night or 6 in the morning.
Yeah. For me, it's just whenever, right? Like you wake up or I'm about to go to sleep. I'm like, I probably write something. So I don't mind. I actually enjoy it. It's stress reliever for me too.
Yeah. And it is for me once I get writing, but it's that initial hurdle of just the topic really. Once there's the topic, I know I need 6 of these things. It's like, oh, this is quite easy. I can do this in an hour.
Yeah, it's the topic. Check out BuzzSumo. Just type in keywords and I'll give you a lot of random ideas.
Yeah, you're awesome. Sorry, I've been wanting to ask you that for a long time. I totally veered off topic, but I saw on your Twitter again today another entrepreneur article. And I'm like, Jesus, man, you're good.
Well, the entrepreneur ones are scheduled, right? So it's like if you post right away, it doesn't come out.
I know that. I know that they're scheduled, but I mean, still, I've fallen off schedule. I'm literally 3 weeks behind now where I haven't published. And that stresses me out then more. You know how it is.
Yeah, I do.
All right. So let's move into projects. It seems like, I mean, from Kissmetrics, and I don't know how much you have over where the product goes, but then to like Crazy Egg to something like Hello Bar that you come out with. I would love to know what your thought process is. I know you're metrics based, but still sort of the longer answer to how you determine when a project is either in your existing business or you, Neil, personally, is a project worth putting your time, energy, and resources into.
I look at it market cap wise. If it could be big enough, like a multi-billion-dollar idea, I'll consider it. If it's not, I won't. And I'm not saying I'm going to make $1 billion from it, but if you go after a market that's like $100 billion market, if you capture a 0.5%, you got a big business, right? If you go after $1 billion market, the chances are you're not going to capture 100%.
Hmm. So Hello Bar?
Go ahead.
Hello Bar? Does that fit into a billion-dollar market?
No, but Hello Bar was very complimentary to Crazy Egg, and it has a lot of organic growing users, so we can use it to cross-promote other business.
Nice. That's cool. And were you going to continue on to the answer of market cap when I interrupted you?
Yeah, it's pretty much all market cap, right? Crazy Egg, when we first created that business, we didn't think about market cap. I didn't learn about this kind of stuff till later after I started creating a lot of these startups. Crazy Egg's market cap's too small. How many people want a heat map? Now, if you look at the product, we started adding stuff, like we rolled out A/B testing and stuff like that. So we're trying to expand the market cap by modifying the product, right? But it takes time.
Yeah. And so is your job in this, is yours the marketing, or do you have touch with like the product and where the product goes to?
Both. My co-founder mainly deals with product, but I deal with a lot more marketing and sales.
Yeah.
And he deals with product and engineering.
Nice. Excellent. All right. Your answers are so quick. You've caught me off guard.
I do so many interviews. I'm used to being efficient. I think this is my second or third one today. I always think about it as a listener, right? So I've listened to so many podcasts and interviews, and people ramble for hours just to like get their point across. So I hate being one of those guys, right? Because I wouldn't want to listen to it. That's the key with marketing too. People think with marketing, you're supposed to try to convey like the story and all this kind of stuff. And sure, you can. And in certain parts of your website and collateral, like maybe the about section, it's great. But typically you want to get to the point as quick as possible, the benefit, and answer as many objections as possible.
Hmm. And so, all right, so let's continue on this marketing a bit, because you do have that. I don't even, is it an innate ability? It could be, or else it's just really, really practiced at this point. But a new product, whatever that product would happen to be, what are the steps that you would take to start marketing a product besides just writing blog posts?
So after you start writing blog posts and you link out to people, I would email every single person I linked out to. Like I would be like, hey, John, I just want to let you know I'm a huge fan of your site. So much so that I even linked out to it in my latest blog post. Feel free to check it out. And P.S. if you like it, it'll make my year if you share it on your social networks or social profiles, whatever it may be, right? And a percentage of the people that you email out will actually share your content on their social profiles. It's a great way to actually get traction with your blog post. That's the main thing you actually need to do. There's tons of tactics that people talk about, but the main thing that you can do is just purely email people out that you link out to.
So you would specifically say email rather than just tweet to somebody that, because I can see a lot of people, like probably a day doesn't go by that I don't see somebody from one of my followers that tweets you and says, oh, I mentioned you in this. And I wonder, like, does that actually work? It seems like kind of the wrong place for it.
Yeah, it doesn't really work as much as well with the emails.
Yeah.
And you have to link to people. Without linking to people, it's not as effective.
Right. So it's actually the link that matters.
Yeah.
I love
people are like flattered, right, when you link to them.
Okay. So your blog posts and the links. And would you use BuzzSumo again? So you have a new product. Say it's, I don't know what your product could be. It could be Kissmetrics, I guess, starting over. Do you just start writing posts and then use, say, something like BuzzSumo for competitors or people within your marketplace, try and see what it is that they have that's working with your audience that you're looking for, and then just start testing posts, just start writing and see which takes off and which doesn't?
Yeah, that's what I do, right? It's like all testing for me, because not everything will take off. Some things will, some things won't, but it really comes down to testing for me.
So testing the style of post, testing the content of the post, testing, and then
the headlines, like literally I test everything.
Wow. And yeah. So then what's the benefit and what's the point to going out to Forbes and Inc. and Entrepreneur and writing on a consistent basis like you do?
Branding. That's really it for me. It's branding, getting your name across.
Nice. It's not traffic.
No.
It's not people.
It's branding, just getting my name across there.
And it really works, doesn't it?
It does. It's a numbers game, but it works. It takes like 6 months plus to see results.
Excellent. All right. So let's wrap up on this thing I've been calling the entrepreneurial gap. Okay. So we live in this place where we're here today, but we're always pushing ahead. We're always looking forward, always setting goals 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 5 years down the line for ourselves and for our businesses. And sometimes we fail to live right in the day to day and kind of really sort of enjoy what it is we've accomplished, what it is we've done up to this point. And I would love, Neil, right now, if you could stop, turn around, look back at all the stuff you've done, all the stuff you've accomplished, the wins, the lows, the highs, whatever, and tell me how you feel about everything that you've done up till this point in your entrepreneurial career.
Yeah, I think I exceeded my expectations. Could I have done better? Of course, right? The way I look at it is I've enjoyed the journey. Hopefully I can keep pushing forward and learn. Like, as I mentioned earlier, there's no regrets. The biggest thing that I need to start doing moving forward is just focus. I tried doing too many things, too many projects, and what I've done over the years, I've started cutting them all off and just focusing.
Nice. It still seems like you do a ton. But I guess that's just the branding aspect of it that I see. It's not the behind the scenes building products.
Yeah, behind the scenes, there's a leak pretty much crazy again. Hello, bar.
Yeah. Okay. So pulling back projects, what for the next year, say, what is the big things that you want to accomplish personally and is the brand?
Trying to grow my brand to more entrepreneurs and marketers, because then we can use it to sell more crazy again, Kissmetrics. That's really it. And then keep expanding the product with Crazy Egg and Hello Bar, so that way they actually start generating more revenue.
Awesome. I love it. This was the most efficient interview I've ever done, I have to say. And it seems like you didn't say a lot, but you really, really, really did. And I do. I thank you so much, Neil, for coming on. Can you tell the listeners specifically where to go find out more about Neil Patel?
Quicksprout.com or neilpatel.com.
Excellent. And Twitter is a great place to track down and follow the prolific amount of blog posts this guy writes. Neil, thank you so much for all that you do. Please keep doing it because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thanks.
Neil, thank you so much for joining me. I have wanted to talk to you for a very, very, very long time. And as I said, you are definitely the most efficient of interviewees. We got back on schedule. I've been going over longer than usual in some of my last few episodes, but this one was, you stumped me. I went through my questions and then that was it. So I'm really glad that we still got to have this conversation, and I hope everyone out there, I hope you didn't mind. I got stumped a few times, but that's part of the game. It's part of the game. It was a great conversation, and Neil is a smart, smart dude that we should all listen to when he talks, when he writes, because he definitely knows his stuff and he's built more than one really, really impressive business, actually all at the same time with Kissmetrics, Crazy Egg, and also Quicksprout. It's really impressive. And now over just at neilpatel.com. So that conversation was short, but it was really, really, really good. And Neil said a lot of smart things. He answered a lot of questions that I've been wanting him to answer for a long time. He answered them very quickly, but he answered them very, very, very well. But there was the one thing that he said, that one thing that really, really, really stuck out to me. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
I look at it market cap wise. If it could be big enough, like a multi-billion dollar idea, I'll consider it. If it's not, I won't. And I'm not saying I'm going to make $1 billion from it, but if you go after a market that's like $100 billion market, if you capture 0.5%, you got a big business, right? If you go after a $1 billion market, the chances are you're not going to capture 100%.
And that's the hack. Neil. I love this because also during this conversation, you say how you fail to think big. And this to me is, I guess this isn't really thinking big. This isn't thinking necessarily. So I stand corrected, Neil. But still, I find it's interesting because I know a lot of people online, especially when you're trying to get started and you read too much crap out there by people who are just telling you stuff. And they say like niche, go super far down into a niche, go super, super tiny, just nail down and down. It's like, no, don't actually go to a big market. Because as Neil says, if it's a multi-billion dollar market, if you joined, say, the fitness market, it's a multi-billion dollar market. So if you can get even half of 1% of that market, you have a really, really massive business. If you went after just fitness for dogs that have three legs and walk backwards on Sundays, and you niched right down to something ridiculous like that, there's probably two dogs in the world that do that. Maybe there isn't even two dogs. That's probably the worst example, but we're going to stick with it because that just shows that you're narrowing it down too far, right? When I created Hack the Entrepreneur, I could have narrowed it down, but no, I went for entrepreneurship, one of the biggest podcasting markets that there are, because it allows a bigger audience. Yes, it's harder to get heard. It's harder to get known, and it's harder to create a business around it, possibly. But it's also easier in a lot of ways because you're dealing with a lot more people and a larger scale of market. So when you are thinking about your business, listen to Neil. Go to the big, big, big markets and find a business within there. Don't go to the tiny little market because it's a lot easier to gain 0.5% of a market than it is to gain 80% of a market share just to make a viable business. Neil, thank you again for that conversation. All right. Well, that was a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. It's always great, right? So hacktheentrepreneur.com. Check it out. If you haven't, if you have, still check it out again and get on that email list. I would love to be able to send you my best writing every Sunday. Every Sunday it comes out. I write it and I'll send it right to you. And I have some cool things that I'm actually going to be up to in the next couple months. And if you're on that list, you'll be the first person to know. So hacktheentrepreneur.com. You'll see a spot to put your email right at the very top. And it's right next to my picture. Put your email in there and I'll only send you the best writing and this new stuff that's going to be breaking soon. I would love to be able to send that to you. All right. It's been fun. Thank you so much again. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.